Welcome to the Amish Voice conference call. Tonight, the topic is obedience. And hopefully you have a lot of thoughts on this. So, yeah, Jonas, you want to open with prayer?
Yes. Father, we come to you tonight, and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you that you're on the throne. We thank you for all the many gifts that you've given us. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who was willing to die on the cross so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Father, as we come tonight, we lift this call to you. The topic tonight, Lord, we lift it to you. We pray that you give us clarity of mind. We pray for your spirit to be with each person on this call. Lord, we pray for you to speak to our hearts. A lot of times, Father, we have lots of thoughts and ideas, but Father, tonight we want to hear from you. So we just pray, Lord, that you would open our ears and our hearts to you. Thank you for Paul and the folks that put this on, put the energy behind it. We pray that you bless them. And again, we thank you for Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you. So, sounds good so far, but remember, if you have any background noise, you can press 4-star to mute yourself and then 4-star again to unmute yourself. So the topic tonight is obedience, and we all know, sure, we all would agree that we should obey God. What? But how? Are we under a whole bunch of rules still? Do we have no rules? Some people say we're free in Christ, so you don't tell me how to live. I'll live myself, and I'm responsible to God. And other people have a list of 4,000 rules they have to go by, and they try to obey all those. And so tonight, we should go to the Bible and see what God says. And that's where you come in. So what do you think the Bible says? What does the Bible say about obedience? What's the difference between obedience and legalism? Or anything you have to say about that? What do you think?
Well, one way you can look at obedience is choice. If I come to a crossroads and I have to choose between following man or following God or obeying man or obeying God, then it becomes a choice. I think it's simply, you know, in the case that I'm thinking about is in Acts chapter 5 where I believe it was Peter, wasn't it? Yeah,
Peter and John.
Yeah, it talked about obeying God rather than men. And I think in this case, what it simply meant was that, or maybe oftentimes in our life, we have to come to the same crossroads. We either stand for God or stand for men. I don't know if that really makes sense, but I was just thinking, if I think of obedience, that's what I think of first.
And in order to obey, we seems like we have to recognize that there's somebody above us, whether it's obeying a policeman or a parent or God. We have to recognize their authority over us, because if it's a child ordering us around, we wouldn't need to obey them. But if it's somebody with more authority, which would include our submitting to them, and yet it's possible to submit willingly or unwillingly. We can obey with the right attitude or with the wrong attitude. So what's the difference? We can do sacrifices and offerings and follow all the rules but still not please God. So what's the right way to obey? And it doesn't matter if we obey with the wrong attitude.
Well, I believe number one, we have to be a child of God through what the Bible calls being born again. And when we're a child of God, people might ask, well, why, if God saves us, what is the purpose for our life after we're saved, or why do we still need to be obedient, those kind of things. But as a child of God, as we read, especially the New Testament, the writings of the Apostle Paul and that kind of thing, he gave us a lot of instruction as God's children. The same as we as parents give our children instruction, God gives us instruction. Now, God has an agenda when he gives us instruction. Number one, he wants to bless us. And we can even look at the laws of the Old Testament. You know, it was very clear. God said many times to the Israelites, follow my laws and I will bless you. Disobey me and you will be cursed and you will be given to the heathen. And that principle is still true today. As his children, we're called to be obedient to him, to be followers of him, ultimately to contribute to building his kingdom, sharing the gospel with others. And obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings, it separates our fellowship from God, because God doesn't fellowship with sin. But when we obey God, it brings a blessing. And I share with a lot of times, you know, there's lots of laws in the Old Testament. Some of them we may not even understand why God asks us to do. Now, the laws that were given in the Old Testament are clearly, you know, put away, so to speak, or Jesus fulfilled them. But as a New Testament believer, there's still things that we need to obey. But for example, when God created the world and everything in it, he set laws in place to bless us. For example, the law of gravity. We all know what that is, and the law of gravity is a wonderful thing because it keeps us on this earth. But if we get up on top of a building and foolishly step off the side of the building, we're going to fall to the ground or be hurt. And all the rest of God's laws work the same way. If we respect his laws, we'll be blessed. If we disrespect his laws, sooner or later it'll catch up with us. May not be as quick as falling off the side of a building and breaking a thumb, but it will catch up with us. So I believe a big part of obedience is simply God wants to bless it.
All right. So what laws are we under today? Are we under the Old Testament laws or the New Testament commands? Do we have to follow them? Where does freedom come in? Freedom in Christ. What laws are Christians under today from the Bible? Are we still under the Ten Commandments?
Scripture tells us that God fulfills the law. And I think that, and I believe that if we have love, then, of course, we're going to obey the Ten Commandments. But it won't be a law to us. It will be love. It will be from our heart.
All right. So,
can I jump in?
You just did. Yes.
Sorry.
That's
very interesting. God wants to bless us. And I forgot what the next question was, but, you know, that's a really big thing. Like Deuteronomy 28. You have the first 15 verses or so talking about the blessings of God, and the rest of the chapter is devoted to the cursings. And I've been thinking about this for several days and looked at several things, so I may jump a little bit away from where you were talking about, although everything's been good. But feel free to jump in and say, all right, you left the place we're working on here. But if you go to Romans chapter 16, and verse 19, I think Paul is closing out the book. He's closing out the chapter. He's saying, appeal to you, brothers. In verse 17, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions, etc. there. But in verse 19, he says, your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. And then in the doxology, that's where I kind of wanted to go with this. Verse 25, he says, not to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. And to me, that's an amazing thing right there. And, of course, then he closes out the chapter by saying, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm kind of jumping around here between several places where I have notes and have a little... now, when it's been brought up, you know, do we keep the Ten Commandments? Do we do this? Do we do that? And one of the things I thought of, you know, with our background, we were so used to saying, all you got to do is obey the church. You know, they got rules. And their churches today have rules. It's not just the Amish, not just the Mennonite. There's some other churches. They got the rules. And but it's got to go beyond that, you know. And I remember when we left, my dad was all over me for a while. He said, well, James says, you've got to have good works. I said, I agree. But the good works don't come before salvation. Salvation happens. You know, after salvation, good works just follow.
Amen.
And, of course, we can, I believe we can work on that. We can, you know, I can read the scriptures and say, oh, wow, I learned something. You know, this is good, and maybe that isn't, you know. And we do that all the time. So in light of that, I was reading, and I don't know, I'm partial to Clark's commentary. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I am. I like that. I agree with him a lot, but not always. This is what he says about verse 26, I think it is. Just a phrase, lifting a phrase out of there. And it was to be made known for the obedience of faith, that they might believe its doctrines and obey its precepts, its universal voice requiring repentance towards God. My page flipped away again. There we go. That's what happens when you try to do everything electronically and then touch it on a touch screen. Excuse me. Let me get back here. that they might believe its doctrine and obey its precepts, its universal voice, requiring, this is good, I think, repentance towards God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and circumcision of the heart, in place of all the Jewish rites and ceremonies. And, of course, you know what I could put in there instead of Jewish. And I thought, that is good, you know, because we have learned so many rites and ceremonies in our past. And I'm not saying they're all bad at all. They just don't have that value for salvation. But repentance towards God, that's something that, if we don't obey that, I don't think we're ever going to get faith, you know. But it's not an obedience that brings works in our life, and it's obedience that, you know, it's faith, bringing obedience in our life and doing these things. So, okay, I've probably taken up too much time.
Yeah, there's somebody from the 4th century, you might have heard of him, Augustine.
Yes.
He said that wicked men obey from fear, but good men obey from love.
Yes, very good.
And, you know, I mean, Jesus, like you were saying, Jesus talks about this a lot, about obedience, keeping his commandments. He talks about the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, that he says, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. And these people were obeying the law. They were religious. They were doing everything they were told to do, including certain kinds of clothing, following all these rules, and Jesus said it didn't help them one bit.
Exactly.
And it's possible to spend your life following rules, and they're a burden. They're grievous. Jesus said in First John 5:3, my commandments are not grievous. It's not a burden. And so if we're keeping all these laws and rules, and we feel like slaves, we're not doing it right. If we're following out of joy and love because we've been changed by God, then we're pleasing him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not keep my commandments and then you'll end up loving me. We love him, and then because we love him, we keep his commandments.
And I have some verses the other day where I was reading, and it hit me that we don't talk enough about the love of God for each one of us and of our love for him, and that supersedes just about anything else we can have. And I've been frantically looking right now, but I can't find the verse I was looking for yet. But absolutely what you said.
Yeah. Well, what else somebody have to say?
Well, when I think of obedience and how it might be different now than it was in the Old Testament, we already know that we're not under the law. We don't have to obey all those laws, even though some really religious person would at times like to go back and pull out certain verses from Deuteronomy and some of those places and say, here, this is what God said, and it still is for us today. We're not under that law anymore. Jesus fulfilled it. We're under grace. But I'm looking at, pretty much has already been said, if even in my marriage, I will honor or obey my wife out of respect for her. If I know that she doesn't want me coming in to the kitchen with muddy boots, and she's made that very clear to me, I'm going to take them off before I come in. I'm going to obey her wishes. Now, if I walk in with those muddy shoes, I'm not going to lose my relationship with her. We're still going to be married, but it's going to cause, like Jonah said, it's going to cause issues between us. We're going to lose fellowship because I'm not honoring her request. And I think that's exactly how God is. We are a family with God. He's our Father. We are his children. And
I like that, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll take a little repenting if you do something like that.
Can I jump in?
Yeah.
I was just reading in Galatians 5, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And just before that, it gives the fruit of the Spirit. And our struggle in life is to dying to self and not to live for self. And the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. It's like it's two sides, whether we're serving self or whether we're walking in the Spirit. And Galatians 5:23 says, against such there is no law. So know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And in that sense of freedom, I see, you know, there is no law. That's how we get away from the law, is by living in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I just took that again, such there is no law, back to the Greek to see what the Greek says about that. And it says, again, such there is no law.
Yep.
It's pretty clear.
You can just go to, there's no limit. You can just go and go. There's just like they're traveling on the road, speed limit signs. You can go so fast, no faster. You break the law. But with the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wide open.
But there is love.
Well, I think it all boils right down to a respect and honoring each other, you know.
Yes.
If I mean,
absolutely.
I don't, as a Christian, I don't know how I can say that makes sense, but I'm not under a speed limit per se. But if I want to respect the other guy's life, I'm going to keep it to a certain mile per hour in order to save his life and mine. You know, it's more, you know, we have freedom. We have freedom to give and take. I always think of Romans chapter 14. You know, they had some struggles. Some were open to meat that was offered by idols, and others weren't. And then you had the issue of certain people felt certain days were more holy than other days, and other people felt, hey, you know, all days are the same. Well, nothing has changed in 2,000 years. We still run into that. You know, we can build little walls and split hairs and do everything else. But the bottom line is, under grace, God, you and I, all of us together, we're on the honor system. We're on the respect under the, you know, on the respect each other system. It's
like that.
Yeah. I mean, I won't go out and commit adultery. God already said don't, because there's consequences if you do. But why don't I do it? Why wouldn't I go commit adultery? Because it will hurt my wife. I respect her.
Love.
But, yeah, I love her. I respect her. I want to honor her. And I know that would hurt her, so I won't go do it. You know, I just, I think that's where obedience comes in, the New Testament.
Yeah, I think we're under the law of love. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Just jump in, yeah. Law of love, that would be. But we're still duty-bound for civil laws, I think, like the speed limits in the highways and, you know, yielding to left turns or something, you know, just civil laws, but not laws for righteousness to God. Jesus Christ is the end of the law to righteousness. More said out in Galatians somewhere, I think.
Those are the natural laws. So we need to divide natural and spiritual if we want to talk about being free from the law.
Wow.
Yeah, but even under the law, we think of the people in the Old Testament as under all those laws, and we're glad we're not under those laws. But even when you read what David said and throughout the Psalms, how those laws he delighted in. And Isaiah 48:18, God says, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had your peace been as a river, and your righteousness as the waves of the sea." So even under all those laws, if they would have obeyed God, like Jonah said earlier, they would have been blessed, they would have been happy, they would have had peace. And now that we're not under the law, how much more joy and peace should we have simply out of love following Jesus? Not a cruel dictator, but our Father and friend. And that's why Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We show our love because we obey him. So what are his commandments? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Is there a list of commandments, or what is he talking about? John 14. If you
love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself, on these hang all the law and the prophets.
Amen.
Well, that's all. There's a lot in that.
Yeah, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus was quoting the Old Testament when he said that, showing that even under the law, it was based upon love. That if we love God and we love others, we're going to be pleasing him. We're going to be obeying him. Not out of a list of commandments to follow, but because we're going to do what's right, naturally.
Of works no ill. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you back back when I was, you know, had come out of a religious, very legalistic religious background, and I was trying to make sense of a lot of things, you know, because I still had a hard time believing that you could just, like, not have some kind of guidelines. I mean, that was always the big question. You know, some kind of guardrails or something to hang on to or something to show that to the world that I'm a Christian on the outside, or, you know, the mic kind of went all over the place. But I remember meeting some people that were free. I loved the freedom that they had. I mean, they weren't judgmental. I was judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
And why were they not judgmental? Because they understood what Jake just and Paul too referred to. There are two commandments: love God, love your neighbor. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
That literally means the entire Bible hangs on these two commandments: love God, love your neighbor. If you can live that way,
me last. Yep.
You are free. You're free.
Amen.
But without Christ, you can't live that way.
Mm-mm. That's right.
Yeah. And that would also mean if you keep all of the commandments without those first two, it's not doing it right. You don't understand it, and you're not pleasing God. You're doing what Jesus said by keeping the outside clean, and the inside's filthy.
Come on.
Because,
Micah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, Micah 6:8, it says, what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?
Mm-hmm.
What else does he require?
All right. Yeah, and that was to the Old Testament Jews under the law. The ones who loved God still found the law to be a delight. And it's the same today, even though we're not under that same Old Testament law.
Yeah.
We're still under obligation to God and to do what's right and wrong and to keep the commands of Jesus. And if it begins with love, it's pleasant. If not, we're grumbling about how much we have to do and the rules we have to follow and what the church tells us to do and what our parents say to do, because it's not based on love. So we can even see Jesus when he was growing up, that he was obedient to his Father.
It says, yep.
Because his was based on love. And whether it's a human relationship or between us and God. If it's love, then obedience is a joyful thing. And if it's not based on love, then it's a slavery thing. So what do we say to those people that are keeping all the rules, that are day after day making sure they're doing what's right and doing what they're told, but they hate it?
Yeah.
They're miserable. And they're always afraid that they're not going to keep the rules well enough.
Yep.
I see where there's a real need to totally understand who Jesus is in order to even get anywhere close to the obedience we're talking about here tonight. And for some reason, you know, the Jews in the time of Jesus, the religious leaders, they thought, they knew the law. They had the law written out in, I don't know how many different books. They had the Torah. They had everything written out to where they knew exactly what worked and what didn't, what was pleasing to God and what wasn't. And yet they missed the very thing that is pleasing to God, and that was accepting his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, without Jesus, you will never please God. You know, it's like our own righteousness, Isaiah says. You know, it's like a bunch of filthy rags, but we come to him with our works and say, hey, look, God, this is what I'm doing. I'm keeping your laws. And somebody brought up 1 John 5:3, which basically says the love is the end of the law.
Yeah.
And I had it right here, not it went away. But and that's very important. But what do you tell people who are under the law? That's a good question. Because when we grow up, we're so used to having rules, and there's nothing wrong with that. We have rules in our home. We have rules for our kids, and, you know, on and on. But when you're trying to please God, or you're wanting to please God, it's not rules anymore. I don't know if we can ever emphasize how important love is in this whole thing. And that's the first thing that has to happen, is our love for God and then understanding how much he loves us. And that's sometimes very hard to do.
Well, I'm thinking of, talking about law or rules. I'm thinking of Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, where it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances or rules or whatever you want to call it, that was against us, which was contrary to us. So right there, you know, I remember, you know, in my circle growing up, we didn't necessarily look at them as against us or contrary to us. You know, we wouldn't even dare think that way. Uh-huh. But really, they were. They were a pain in our side, particularly during the teenage years, you know, when you wanted to push those rules. And it wasn't until I got older and I read these scriptures and I said, yeah, God knew they would be against me and contrary to me. Therefore, he took them out of the way and he nailed them to the cross 2,000 years ago.
They were also in our way. I'm sorry for jumping in, but they were also in our way because those very rules are keeping us away from Jesus. Because we think obeying these rules is better than having Jesus. And that's what you want.
Yep.
It was for freedom. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
This is Stefan. I was listening to you guys talking here, and the Freiheit Triste starts out with, and Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you, if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. And going on down to verse 13, for you have been called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through the love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So in verse 16 he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. It's pretty much encapsulated everything you've been talking about here. I was just thinking about that when I was listening to you guys talk. But I do, and then it leads into, you know, the works of the flesh. But then it also talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which you guys touched on too. And so, yeah, living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, is you will not fulfill the desire of the flesh.
Amen. Thank you.
I find it very interesting this is one of the scriptures that was read every year. Seems to go out on Johannes Ox. We call them the freedom scriptures or the Freiheitsschriften.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting?
And
but I've never heard it preached like
the
this
law
before.
And we use them to strengthen the law that we were under.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it? It's something.
That pretty much goes along with Psalms 1. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, he's talking about walking in the Spirit, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. It doesn't sound like it's a burden there for the law. It's like, I don't know, walking with God, I guess, or where you're walking in the Spirit, New Testament puts. So.
Yeah. And I wonder how much joy we're missing as Christians because we still do things grudgingly. Well, we obey, but we don't do it God's way. And even thinking of in the Old Testament with Saul in 1 Samuel 15, when Samuel told Saul to wait until he shows up and then Samuel would offer the sacrifices. And Saul waited and Samuel didn't show up, so Saul went ahead and did the sacrifices. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And how many people today are still making these sacrifices and offerings, thinking they're pleasing God, thinking they're doing what's right, but they're missing the obedience. They're missing the love and the trust and waiting, following God fully. Instead, they're thinking, well, I'm doing the religious thing. I'm doing it the same way they did. I should be okay. I should please God. And they don't realize that, like Jesus said, you call me Lord, but I never knew you.
Whoa. Yep.
I have a question. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, it was just something that I've been thinking about. I've heard people say this or throw the question out there off and on. And that is, you know, when you have a young person or you have a young Christian newly saved, for the first time really felt the love and experience of God poured out on them. And then the soul winner says, now that you're saved, God requires some things from you. He expects some things from you. Like, he expects you to read your Bible every single day. And he expects you to be in church, you know. The more often you come, the better. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday, Wednesday evening, Sunday evening, anytime the doors are open, he expects you to be there. You know, you're a Christian now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, expects you to start giving, you know, and the list just goes on and on. What would you say to a person like that? Is the soul winner right? Is he wrong? Is he putting a yoke over this young person now that just finally experienced the love and freedom in Christ? And
Well, a lot of times we as young Christians, new Christians, speaking for myself personally, I'll be thinking, well, what does God want me to do? Surely there's something I must be thinking about, what I must be doing. And we always want to do. And the Bible is full of things like, you know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and talk about helping your fellow man. And I believe it was from your Bible study. I got it right when it says, we put us first, we put our neighbor second, we put God last, but it goes the other way around. We must put God first, put our neighbor second, and me last. And I don't know, is that putting the whole yoga bondage? I think that's just God's way and our way that we come to terms with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there are a lot of rules that we still need to follow. There's don't be drunk, don't steal, don't lie.
All right.
But like you were saying, Joe, with your wife in the booth, that if you meet a person and you fall in love, you don't say, okay, give me a list of the rules that I can please you with and a list of the rules I shouldn't do. You get to know them. And because you know them and you want to please them, you feel good because you make them happy, because you do what they want to do and you don't do what they don't want you to do. And that's the same way with a Christian and God. You start the relationship, not because you're supposed to. I mean, even if you need to start out that way, but you do it because you love God.
All of love, yeah. Amen.
You get to know him more and more. You're going to purposely not want to do the things that hurt him and want to do the things that please him. But if you make it a list of right and wrong and this is what you have to do, then you're back under legalism and bondage.
Mm.
Even though you still need guidelines.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. I was going to say, even though you still need guidelines of maybe to help and say, if you used to get drunk, then don't. But it's because God says. And we love God, so we want to please him. So.
And a lot of times when people are saved, they already know what things are wrong. Now, they shouldn't do anymore, but sometimes coming out of a works church background, or at least what I call that, it's a little bit harder to determine that. Now, back to the question of the soul winner and what they said. Everything you said was good, except I don't like the way that you put it there and said, well, God said you got to do this. You know, find me a verse for that. But all of those things were good things, and they need to be encouraged to do, you know, spend time in the Word, to you know, maybe there is a verse for that. Early will I seek you. I think it's somewhere. And you know, be in the house of God, worshiping. That's, you know, with the fellow believers. All of those are very important things. I have a little bit of an issue with the way it was put, you know, but not so much with the things that were actually said, you know, because those are good things.
Well, I think... Yeah, let me just say this. I think sometimes it's in the way you perceive it. It's an attitude. It's a mindset. It's not that it's wrong or right. It's about how you perceive it. It's just like, you know, if I take it as, okay, in order to stay connected with God, I have to do, or the other way is, wow, God, because of everything you've done for me, what can I do for you? What pleases you?
It starts with love.
Yeah.
Starts with love, ends with love. Right. It goes. Yeah, Romans 10:3. They being ignorant of God's righteousness go about to establish their own righteousness, not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. First, the verse I was looking for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes.
That's good.
They say we walk around lawless. We have the law of love, though, yeah.
My perspective is that if somebody has really given their hearts to the Lord, we can encourage them and say, now you're going to begin to feel the Holy Spirit, going to begin to feel that some things are changing, and you won't have the desire that you had for the old. And we just walk beside them, and sometimes we have to step slowly. Sometimes a person can go faster, but if the conversion is really genuine, that person will begin to see and feel new, different desires, I believe.
I agree with that.
Yes.
But let me say what I think Paul says it better than I can say it. He says, when the flesh sets itself against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another. So you may not do the things that you please, but if you're led by the spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, what that's saying to me is that we need to teach people to be rather than to do. In other words, it's not in the doing, it's in the being. And when we mentor people, we walk alongside them and we teach them what it looks like to be a Christian, not because of what, not in our own power. In other words, it is what Christ has done in us. In other words, another way to say that would be to say that the things we do are the result of our salvation, not the means thereof.
Amen.
Okay, and so. That's just what Paul is saying here. The flesh sets itself against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh, for these things are in opposition to one another. So you may not do the things that you please, but if you're led by the spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, you are being led by the spirit, and you desire to do these things. So it no longer is law for you. It is the law of love. It is doing things out of the result of your salvation. That makes sense.
Yep.
Amen. And that comes back again to the obedience of faith, you know, that I mentioned earlier. It's part of our faith. It's a part of it becomes part of who we are and what we do because we have this faith in God. Amen.
Amen.
And obedience isn't always going to be easy. It goes. It might go against our human nature. It might cause us to sacrifice more, but out of love, we're going to do it. Like when God told Abraham, your son, go sacrifice your son. He obeyed, but it wasn't easy.
That's hard. Yeah.
And those who love him the most, he might call to give up the most, to do things that nobody else would. You look at the Apostle Paul's life, that sure wasn't easy, but I'm sure he doesn't regret it now, what he went through for Jesus.
Well,
I don't mean to change the subject or throw something in that I shouldn't be. But I wish that everybody could have known my mother. She lived such an uncomplicated life. She just lived pure love. If she felt that somebody hurt her, she just turned around to see what she could do to help them. The last song, and she kept singing until there was no more breath left to sing. The last song was, and she'd sing just this one line, and then she'd trail off, and she did this over 5 minutes. My sister timed her, and she was singing, "Hat sein Leben für mich gegeben," and that was really about the last words that we heard her say. But she had such an uncomplicated love, and I just wish that everybody could have known her. She was a tremendous example to me and left me a tremendous heritage.
Amen.
Praise Jesus. Well, we're talking about obedience. This may be off the subject. I know a Christian is duty bound to God. God says, "You forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses." Can you be a Christian and not forgive someone? I wonder. Maybe that's not a topic we want to discuss or something we want to talk about now. This came up in our church.
Paul, you're the moderator.
All right, then let's have some answers. All right. Well,
that's obedience, right?
I believe unforgiveness can definitely stand in the way of a person being able to be saved, be born again. As a born again believer, falling into the trap of unforgiveness, I wouldn't say he won't lose his salvation, but it would be just like anything else, like being disobedient, like I talked about earlier. It'll bring a division between him and God. He won't have that fellowship with God.
Yeah, that was my point on it. Some say, well, you can't be forgiven if you don't forgive. You're not a Christian. You can't be a Christian if you can't forgive someone. There are some pretty serious sins that people can commit against others that find it very hard to forgive. But then the older gentleman from our church, he brought it up that, you know, when the guy forgave the one guy and the other guy in turn went and found somebody that owed him something, and he took him by the collar and shook him up and said, pay me now or else. And I forget what the scripture said or where it was at, but he says that says you can't be forgiven if you don't forgive. You haven't been forgiven, or you can't be a Christian if you don't forgive. Or I said, I thought maybe you're a Christian and you refuse to forgive someone, and I'm not sure. I've heard some different ways about that. I don't know what it's at now.
Yeah, one who loves God, it would be hard not to forgive. I mean, even Corrie ten Boom, when she was in the concentration camp, had that prison guard that she saw beat her sister and was responsible for a lot of sin, and met him afterwards. He had become a Christian, and she said, I can't forgive him. And yet she prayed, God changed her heart, and she forgave him.
Okay.
John says if we say we follow Jesus and hate our brother, we're a liar.
Yeah, when I brought up,
Forgiveness is not an easy thing, but what happens when we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts against anybody else or against God or even against ourselves, sometimes that can happen as well. We're setting ourselves up for all kinds of problems. And, you know, if I have something against you and I can't forgive you, you know, your situation already is between you and God. It's not between you and me. But if I forgive you, it releases God to work with you, and I get a blessing and freedom that otherwise I can't have. And I know people have absolutely worried themselves sick because they can't forgive somebody.
Mm.
And they say, well, yeah, but that's it doesn't deserve forgiveness. It doesn't matter.
Right,
we can't forgive. You know, we're talking about big things now. If we can't forgive, we're hurting ourselves, not others.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're saying if I didn't forgive that person, God, if I forgive that person, it releases God to deal with that person in his own way and time. And if I don't forgive him, then I'm standing in the way.
That's the way I would understand it, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I know there was a time after we left the Amish when became aware of this. And just for the record, you know, my wife and I made a list of the people that that we actually harbored something against. And we might not have thought about it at all, but you start thinking about it and you say, wait a minute, I remember this. And we had to consciously go through there and pray about each one and forgive them. And it released us in a way that I can't explain today what it did to us, but it just released us, and we could worship God and serve God in a whole new way. And then when you meet those people, you can look them in the eye and
there you
wonder,
go.
What happened now? Because you always hated me before, and you know, we shouldn't hate others.
Yeah, I had to make a list and work through my chaplain at the Dent prison. He told me that I was working through hurts and guilt. You make a list of everyone that hurts you, and you make a list of everyone you've offended, and had to work through them things. And I totally believe and agree with that. Forgiveness should come, you know, for the Christian. Be willing to give and forgive and ask forgiveness.
Yeah. And another.
That's obedience to God.
Another aspect of sort of similar to, I mean, opposite of, I guess, obedience is rebellion.
Mm.
If we don't want to obey an authority, then we're in rebellion against that authority.
Rebellion, yeah.
And we either submit unwillingly, because one day every knee is going to bow before Jesus. And some are going to do it unwillingly, and some are going to do it willingly. But they're all going to do it. And there's people, a lot of people in this world who are in rebellion against God, that they don't want to follow his rules because they don't understand his love. And they don't want to be under anybody's authority. And so they try to do things themselves, and they end up messing up their whole lives and spending eternity in hell, when all they have to do is turn to Jesus, submit to him, find his forgiveness or be forgiven by him, and they find out that it's a joy and a delight, like the Bible says, to be under God's authority and to be obedient to him.
Oh, a delight, yeah. Psalm 1, yeah. It's the fruit of the Christian, the fruit of the Spirit, that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, I'll give the phone number now if anybody wants to write it down to listen to this later or to call in. And we're also putting a sermon on this time by about tearing down strongholds. So that's one of the options if you call in and listen. So the phone number to listen to this or some of our other recordings is 641-715-3800. That's 641-715-3800. And enter PIN number 89752. So, and next month, the topic is to be on prayer, still following our ABC study. And if you'd like to learn more about that or take it, and some of you might be taking it, you can write to us at the Amish Voice or call or email or whatever. Amish Voice, P.O. Box 128, Savannah, Ohio, 44874. It's the Amish Voice or the Plowman's Academy. I guess not the Bible lessons. Plowman's Academy, P.O. Box 128, Savannah, Ohio, 44874. Thank you for joining us. Good conversation. Stephan, you still there?
I'm still here.
Would you close in prayer?
Sure. Father God, you've told us that we should ask for wisdom, and you would give it to us. And so we are grateful for the wisdom and understanding that you've given others to bless us with understanding. And Father, I pray now tonight that you would touch the hearts of each one of us that were in us on this conversation, that we might be able to have ready lips to share the gospel with others, and not to be timid in sharing the gospel, but to be ready with your word. So we ask now that you bless each one of us with peace and joy and patience with those that we're walking with. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. And there is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle.